And welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. As we are homeschooling our five children here, and working to hopefully salvage some faith, family, and freedom in the 21st century in a time where the battle is raging. And we're doing what we can. But by God's grace, friends, we are seeing some progress. Hey, over the last 30 years, homeschooling has been legalized in all 50 states around America. Was not the case in the 1970s. God has preserved our homeschooling freedoms in Colorado and around the world, and especially in the United States. Now, there are, of course, some nations where they're struggling for freedom. But in America, we've had some good, solid freedoms for families secured and maintained for decades now. And I think this is because we've got a God who preserves our rights for us when we call out for help to him. And also we have people out there fighting for these freedoms, like Homeschool Legal Defense Association. And also Treon Gosin has been out here in Colorado salvaging our rights and fighting for our freedoms, our family freedoms, and our freedoms to homeschool for the last 28 years. And she's back with me on the Generations broadcast. Treon, welcome back.
Oh, thank you, Kevin. Thank you for having me.
Good to have you again. And I emphasize the fact you've been in this for a long time. You've been in it for 28 years, and you're still in the battle.
Yes, it's one that doesn't let up, Kevin. Just when you think you've got one fire out, another one crops up.
I think that's been the way it's been for centuries. Hey, probably since the beginning of the fall, way back in the garden, there's this battle between good and evil. And the thing that I think people forget, Treon, is that you've got to define the sides of good and evil, not by Charles Darwin, not by Karl Marx, not by some kind of a survival of the fittest ethic, but ultimately by God's word, ultimately by the Ten Commandments, by God's law. And I think people forget that.
I agree, Kevin. You know, the word of God is the bottom line in every issue.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, in order to get our direction.
Right. And that applies to the Civil Unions Bill. And we're going to bring that up right now because I think this is very, very important. Things are really heating up at the Capitol here in Denver, Colorado. The Civil Unions Bill, which is SB 12002, has been presented to the House of Representatives. And it's been gliding through the House, committee after committee. What's going on with that bill?
Well, what we're seeing, Kevin, is that we have at least one Republican on these committees, and it's been a well-orchestrated event. Mark Ferrandino, the House Minority Leader, who is openly gay, and others who have worked have been going after these committees they knew it would go to, and basically just what they call talking and communicating, because they believe if they can talk long enough, they can sway at least one person who had voted against it before, who would, you know, vote for it now. And that's exactly what is happening. We've seen at least one member of the majority party, which is Republican, in the Colorado House, and they've supported it. We watched BJ Nichol.
And folks need to understand, the Democrats control the Senate. The Democrats control the gubernatorialship. The Republicans have the House by one vote. Is that correct?
One vote.
And sadly, the Republicans tend not to be entirely strong on issues like this.
You know, that's what we're seeing. There's been a lot of talk, Kevin. There's been a lot of talk of money going into campaign funds from the gay community, you know, et cetera, et cetera, which I'm not going to say one way or another. I haven't seen the actual numbers, though. Right. I did suspicion that myself.
And let's just say it. Tim Gill lives in Colorado, and Tim Gill has been funding so many pro-homosexual causes across this nation. He's doing what he can to sever the rights of families, of businesses, say, in Anchorage, Alaska, to determine who they will hire versus who they will fire. And he's done what he can to fight for the homosexuality across the country. And he has put, I'm going to say, probably millions of dollars into campaigns here in Colorado to fight the fight for a pro-homosexual state.
Absolutely. The number that's actually on his website, which includes some of the grants they've given out to organizations that support, you know, gay activities, is $187 million.
Wow.
That's astounding.
See, they've got the money. And you know, the rest of us poor blokes around the state are trying to put together
a few bucks here and a few bucks there to elect a Senator Kevin Lundberg, a man who will stand for principle. And you know, he's not tied into any big bucks. He has no friends worth $187 million, as far as I know.
No, you're correct. And of course, we know the individual he's challenging is Congressman Jared Polis, who is also openly gay.
Right.
And considered one of the richest men in Congress.
Yes. Yes. They've got the money. They've got a lot of money. And they're putting their money into, I think, the destruction of our moral systems. As our founders used to say, either be governed by God or you'll be governed. That is, either you'll be governed by God's moral principles in the Word of God, or you will be tyrannized. And we see these forces constantly working to weaken the moral structures of the nation in order to build up massive tyranny, massive socialistic tyranny across this country. And they've made a lot of progress. You have to admit, Tyrion, in the last 50, 60 years, they've made progress.
Well, yes. And especially here in Colorado, within the last 10 years, it's been astounding. You know, the conservative effort, you know, this is brought out in the blueprint. You know, by Tim Gill and others. And just to quote one thing that he said here is, by successfully changing Republican legislators to Democratic ones, Gill claims, the net result is always good for gays. He doesn't hold back. Mm-hmm. He says that Republican Party right now, anyone who opposes them is a bigot and is a power of darkness. He calls us forces of darkness. It's interesting he uses spiritual terms.
Yeah, I heard a lot of them testifying are using the spiritual terms. They're sort of borrowing what they can from our terminology, but they reject biblical ethics, of course.
Exactly. It is what is convenient for them, as we were talking before the broadcast. You know, what I'm seeing is that I've watched this issue come up time and time again in the state, you know, House, and I've seen how they have molded themselves into what the public wants to hear. And they actually talked more about God in the House Judiciary hearing, which lasted over 3.5 hours, than those who were in opposition. They kept bringing up God. God brought this person in my life. God brought me these children. God did this. God did that. I go to church. I worship God, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
And just look at us. It's wonderful, loving couple who goes to church and has, quote, adopted these children, unquote, and we're just normal. See, that is what they're trying to portray as normality.
The sad fact of the matter, and we have chronicled this on the radio program many, many times, the corruption really is not happening first and foremost at the Capitol. The corruption is happening within the seminaries and within the churches across this country. These are the most corrupt institutions in the nation. Satan goes after the churches first because he understands that's how you corrupt people and destroy an entire nation. And that's what's happening to our country right now. But meanwhile, we're trying to salvage some kind of a moral system in our state. And this is a brave move on the part of those who want a pro-homosexual state.
Exactly. We're seeing the trend here. We're seeing the national trend. Mm-hmm. And all eyes are on Colorado because, as we know, Colorado is considered a swing state.
Oh, yeah.
And also, I've heard that as Colorado goes, so goes the nation.
Yes, yes.
And that is true in a lot of areas that I've witnessed over the years. And so this is being witnessed not just by us here, but by hundreds of thousands across the nation. And some of them are pouring in, you know, support for civil unions, but we are getting support against them. But I am astounded at the, quote, conservative Christian groups who showed up to testify in support.
And Trian, we are just on the very edge of this thing passing into law in the state of Colorado. SB 002. Is there any hope yet for the cause of what is right?
Yes, there is, Kevin. I, as you know, never give up hope. Mm-hmm. I'm always working and moving ahead. There is one Republican representative on the House Appropriations, the vice chair, Cherie Giroux, who has said she would vote for this bill to get it out of House Appropriations. However, she's hearing from a lot of her constituents at this time. But also, most importantly, the Speaker of the House, Frank Minolti, and Amy Stevens, the House Majority Leader, do have the power, the ability to keep this bill from coming up for debate on the House floor, which would effectively kill it.
What do you think
so
they're going to do?
We're asking people to help us with that.
Mm-hmm. Just call them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Call them, email them, go to the Capitol. Mm-hmm. You know, show up in their offices and say, hi, I'm here. Mm-hmm. I'm against this. Can you stop it? You know, we're crossing lines here.
Mm-hmm.
We're crossing boundaries that have never been crossed in the state. And, you know, one thing the Alliance Defense Fund brought up so wonderfully in committee is that they won't be happy with civil unions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, statistics prove out they start out with the designated beneficiaries.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that kind of settles for a bit, then that's not good enough. So they go for civil unions, which is what's happening here. We have designated beneficiaries, but they kept saying that it sounds better to have civil unions.
Hmm.
I mean, that's about all they could say as far as
right. Civil
unions. It sounds better. People know what that means.
Trian,
and then from civil unions, guess what?
Mm-hmm. Trian, what's the chances of the House Majority Leadership getting a little backbone and standing against this?
Well, I'm praying for it, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are up the Capitol even today as I'm talking to you. You know, meeting with them, trying to, you know, encourage them to do the right thing. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to do everything humanly possible and then everything spiritually possible.
Yeah.
We need to pray.
Yeah. Trian, you also, in your recent memo, you talked about the parental rights amendment and your efforts to get our state government to back parental rights approach in this country. And you ran into some flack.
Oh, yes. It was a non-binding resolution,
uh-huh.
You know, to make that very clear. This is just a statement that would urge Congress to support the Parental Rights Amendment.
Yeah.
And the greatest flack that I got, you know, in the House, even though it passed the House, the Senate State Affairs killed it, but was from the same gentleman, Representative Mark Ferrandino, who is the sponsor for civil unions
on
the House side.
Incredible.
He's the one that stood up and was very belligerent against parental rights, because he said, but we don't need a fundamental parental right.
Hmm. While he's fighting for the rights to have sex with whatever he wants to have sex with,
exactly.
He doesn't want parents to have the right to homeschool their kids or to have those rights secured by the Constitution or by the Congress of the United States. Evidently, he loves to have sex with everything and anything. But boy, when it comes to parents discipling their children in their own homes, they can't stand that idea.
Exactly.
Why is that, do you think?
Because we are the single biggest threat to them and to their existence. Because people who choose to home educate do not have to use anything other than the Bible or their own moral views to instruct on homosexuality.
Oh, boy.
And this came out in a committee. Their lobbyists spoke out and said they consider us a threat. Because we are not regulated in what we can tell our children about them.
Incredible. In other words, what they're doing is they're trying to bring up the Alberta attempt to mandate homosexual indoctrination in homeschools. Thankfully, thousands of homeschoolings in Alberta, Canada showed up and they overwhelmed the capital in Alberta. And they were able to sustain some freedom for homeschools in Canada just, like 2 months ago. Well, now what you're saying is that the bad guys want to do the very same thing in Colorado.
Oh, yes, and they don't hide it.
Yeah.
They don't hide that this is what they want to do. Like I said, if you listen long enough, you know, you hear what their agenda is, what their plans are.
Hmm.
And they very much, just with the parental rights issue, this non-binding resolution, that was an affront to them because, oh, my goodness, a fundamental right would allow these parents to continue to tell their children and teach them about the evils of homosexuality.
Here's one more reason why we're a threat. We're having kids.
Yep.
The homeschoolers have a vision for having children and for having a civilization and for having children who have the ability to have children because they're not homosexuals. And hopefully I don't have to explain the biological facts related to that to our audience. But homeschoolers do have a vision for the future. They do have a vision for having children and discipling their children. And they're having 3.5 to 4 children per family. And I'm guessing that we're going to have 6 million homeschoolers just on the second generation having kids by the year 2020, and we will be upwards of 15, 20 million in another 30, 40 years from now. And the homosexuals will not have kids. Now, they adopt here and there. I think the statistics have it that they've adopted some 30,000, 40,000, not very many. But if you put 30 to 40,000 next to the 6, 8, 10 million children that homeschoolers will have over the next 20, 30 years, yeah, I understand why they're concerned, Trian.
Oh, absolutely. I've seen it. They're you know, they're scared of us, Kevin. Yeah. I don't know how else to explain it. They're afraid because mm-hmm. we are light and they are darkness.
Yeah.
And if you want to use the correct biblical terms, and it says the light will dispel the darkness. And as the light grows, you know, that's exactly what we're doing. It exposes. And you're seeing so many things exposed right now, even through what we're going here in Colorado. We're watching legislators who really, you know, were elected on a platform that wasn't really their heart platform. Because you cannot be easily swayed on this issue. It's either right or wrong.
You made a comment in your recent update. I see the fight for parental rights as more than the UN Convention of the Rights of the Child and customary international law. Domestically, it is the homosexual agenda via civil union, same-sex marriage, the redefining of family, the educational establishment, their attack on those who would stand up and speak the truth. You're starting to put these things together. You're starting to see that we have an unholy alliance coming together to erode the family, to destroy the family in this country, and to effectively destroy our country. But homeschooling has the potential to recreate to strengthen the family, to hopefully establish a moral agenda where a civilization might survive the year 2060.
Oh, I agree.
There's hope. I think there's hope. But we've got the bad guys out there trying to erode the good things that we're doing.
You know, and that's the way, like you said earlier, it has always been that way. There's always the bad guys on the horizon, and I'm telling you why they are the true forces of darkness. We need to look behind this and see who's really behind this effort to destroy what God has placed, you know, the sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman, the ability to procreate, to have children, and to raise those children in godly principles, biblical principles. And this is what scares them bitless, because out of all of them sitting there in testimony and all of them talking about God and even some quoting the scriptures on how you're supposed to, quote, love your brother, and if you don't love your brother, you're an infidel or whatever, not once did they bring up what God says in his word about homosexuality.
Yeah.
You know, that's been, you know, taken out of whatever they choose to believe on it.
Yeah.
But we're seeing an army rise up. An army of parents, an army of individuals who are standing up and saying no more. And this takes courage, Kevin. It takes a lot of courage to oppose.
It sure does.
This billion-dollar you know, effort that's going on in this country, because they go after you. No holds barred. But I'm not afraid, and I know you're not.
And Treon, I appreciate that about you. And here's the other thing I appreciate about you. You've been at this for 28 years. And what I want to encourage people to do, I don't know what's going to happen Tuesday of this week or Wednesday. I don't know if the civil unions bill is going to pass in Colorado. My guess is that the general trend is going to be to more homosexual indoctrination programs, homosexual civil unions, marriages, et cetera, et cetera. That's going to continue. That momentum has begun over the last 200 years or so. So we got a fair amount of momentum here. But hang in there. Stay with it. You did that with home education. And I know HSLDA, Chris Klicka, and many other freedom fighters who were out there on the front lines doing the work back in the 80s and 90s accomplished great things for us over 28 years. But now we've got another battle. And it's going to be this battle. It's going to be a bigger battle. Really, it's going to be the battle for the family. You fought for the battle for homeschool rights. I think we're going to be fighting the battles for homeschool, for family freedoms, and for the family itself in this country. And that battle's going to last, I think, for the next 28 years, at least. So we're going to be in this thing for a long time, as you have been in this battle a long time already. And I think we just need to get the troops out there and tell the troops it's not just a battle for this week. It's a battle for the next 28 years, and we've got to be in it to the end.
Okay, Evan, that was so well said. We have to be in this to the end. We cannot give up. We cannot surrender.
Yeah.
We have to keep moving forward. We have to support candidates like Kevin Lemberg, who has proven time and time again that he will not support this. We need to help fund their campaigns.
Yes.
You know, we all may not have the billions that the gay lobby does, but we can contribute $5, $10, $20, and combined with all of us together, that would be a substantial amount.
Yes.
We can speak. We can use our voices. We can use our votes.
Yes.
Educate people. Yes. We can speak this out. It's time, Kevin. because we can't hide our heads in the sand any longer over this issue. The family, you're correct, is what is at stake. You know, they've proven they can't stop us from homeschooling, but they're coming in through the back doors, and the back doors have to do with parental rights, and this major back door is coming into your home and telling you what you can and cannot do, what you can and cannot say to your children.
Treon, thank you for jiggling the cage a little bit on getting out there and supporting candidates and supporting them with funds and such. I've been needing to do some things in that regard, and I have been putting it off and putting it off, and I just wrote a note to myself, Kevin, get with the program. Treon just said, get out there and start writing checks and get behind these campaigns. I will commit to doing that, Treon, between me and you. And I hope that hundreds, if not thousands, of those listening, wherever you happen to be listening, whether Colorado or anywhere else, that you get behind the cause of righteousness. Now, if you want to know what the cause of righteousness is, read the Bible. Read the ethical statements of the Bible, Old and New Testaments. Include Romans chapter 1 and Leviticus chapter 20. Those are important. Very, very, very important. And Jesus said, not a jot or a tittle will be removed from the law. And if you teach somebody to break the least of the commandments in the Old Testament, you will be considered very, very, very least in the kingdom of God. So Jesus affirmed the laws of God, Old Testament to New Testament. Make sure you find the best candidates possible. They may not be in your own districts either. You may not be able to vote for anybody in your own district, but write a $100 check, write a $500 check to a candidate in your state, somewhere near you, somebody you know, who you know that you know that you know that he fears God and he uses the Bible as his basic ethical statement. Begin there. That's the cause of righteousness. The devils will try to smear that. They always do. They always do. They always do. They're deceitful. They always try to smear the ethical issues, but use the word of God as the standard. Find righteous candidates. Get behind them. And friends, and here's the other thing. As Winston Churchill said, never, 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 never give up. And I think that's the point on the program today. Treon, thanks so much. Appreciate your work.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, and God bless you for bringing this issue on your program.
Al, folks, we'll be back in just a moment with Bill Roach, a homeschool father who was down at the Capitol at the hearing before the Judicial Committee as they considered the civil unions bill. Be back in just a moment.
Rocky Mountain Super Conference on the Family is coming to the Denver Merchandise Mart June 14 to 16. This conference, sponsored by Christian Home Educators of Colorado, is designed to encourage and equip families through seminars on home education, family discipleship, worldview, vision, and parenting. Visit the exhibit hall featuring 200 vendors, including youth entrepreneurs. Stop by the used curriculum sale. Bring the whole family Friday night for the family film night featuring works by award-winning Christian filmmakers. Come to the Rocky Mountain Super Conference on the Family, June 14 to 16. Register today. Save on pre-conference pricing. For more information, go to check.org. That's CHEC.org.
And we're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. And Bill Roach is going to join me now on the program. He was down there at the Capitol, actually a year ago when the similar bill was being discussed at the Capitol. Was there again this year as they considered it at the Judicial Committee hearing. This, again, was a civil unions bill that would legitimize civil unions for homosexuals for the first time in the state of Colorado. Bill Roach is a homeschooling father, and he is with me now on the Generations broadcast. Welcome, Bill.
Hey, Kevin. How are you?
Good, Bill. You were down there. What
nine
did you
hours,
see?
Brother.
9 hours. Wow. You committed an entire day of your schedule for the cause of righteousness, standing up for God's principles. And was it a 9-hour hearing?
No, they had other things that went on first. We talked for 3 or 4 hours about some marijuana issues that was before. So it probably ended up about 3 or 4 hours for the civil unions bill, but you never know when they're going to come up, so you have to stay there the whole time.
And this time you did not have the opportunity to testify. Last year you did.
Yeah. This year they limited it to an hour on each side, and I was not part of the group that did speak, but I did have a chance to say something last year.
Now, one of the things that Treon mentioned in my previous interview on this program was that the other side argued from the higher moral ground perspective. I mean, they wanted to take the higher moral ground. That is, the homosexuals were saying that they're being persecuted, that we're not loving their brothers very much. We're certainly not loving them the way they'd like to be loved. And that can be taken a lot of different ways, I know. But the good guys were there, too. What were they saying?
You know, it was interesting. You definitely heard more of the Bible, and you heard more about God and being blessed and having a partner that God has given to you.
Yeah.
From the side that was in favor of the homosexual bill, the opposition spoke more. I would say more from what I would call natural law and talking more about how marriage is a better way to raising a child. That a man and a woman statistically shows that the child's going to be raised in a better way in that situation than if two of the same sex raise them. That was primarily the argument from the Alliance Defense.
Utilitarian arguments. That is, this is probably not going to produce the most good for our society, so therefore we ought not to do it.
Absolutely. And the other thing they said was slippery slope. They're saying the homosexuals now are asking for civil unions, but just give them one more year and they'll come back asking for marriage. And they pointed out how all the language in there is really talking about marriages and domestic partners. That it would become a marriage bill very soon, that this was just the slippery slope for it. It really wasn't that compelling. In fact, a couple of the Democrats would just eat alive the testimony that was given by what I would say was the evangelical community. I know that it came on fast. I appreciate the work that they do, and I know their heart's desire was to defeat it, but it really wasn't as well prepared. The other side was extremely well prepared. They, one after another, were coming up and speaking about how God was in this.
Yeah. So what's lacking? What do you think needs to happen? I have my own theories, but your perspective.
Sure. I think we have to get back to the standard of the Word of God. Uh-huh. It has to be what guides us. You know, you can't talk about a moral issue without it being attached to the one who is morality, and that is the Word of God and our sovereign God. For a priest to stand up there and say it's not a biblical issue, it's not a religious issue, it's just wrong on so many ways. We have to go back to the standard, which is the Word of God.
Ultimately, we're fighting for the higher moral ground, the highest moral ground would be God's moral ground. It's just, you know, that's the way it works. To say natural law can defend these things, hey, spiders will eat their mates.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the basis of law, personally, I don't want my wife cannibalizing me.
No.
You know, I mean, come on. Natural law sufficient to establish morality in the civil sphere? That's a joke. And that, of course, is why the seminaries have undermined the ability of the rank and file Christians out there trying to develop some moral basis in the political sphere or any other sphere. We have got to go back to God's revealed law, and people don't want to do that.
Well, I'll tell you what, you want to get the hair on the back of their necks to stand up, you mentioned the Bible.
Yeah.
In a civil unions hearing and the Judiciary Committee. I mean, I was just struck for the whole day, for 9 hours, how much nobody mentioned God's Word. In fact, if you were going to mention God's Word, you were going to be looked upon with disdain and say that has no place in it. In fact, one of the Democratic representatives, I believe it was Representative Durand, said, hey, we believe in separation of church and state around here. That's what we believe in.
It's a typical mantra. Yeah.
And they quickly, to the one who was given his defense at that point, he quickly pointed out and said, hey, that's not even in the Constitution. I don't know where you're getting that. So he quickly played upon that. But there are so many people that believe that this separation of church and state is where we are. And we are, fundamentally, that's where we are, the way that that we do things, but it's not the way that it should be.
Right, right. And what they're saying is separation of church and state is really a separation of biblical morality from whatever we want to do.
Right.
That's what they're saying. So they don't want to admit that, but that's what they're saying. And I actually do believe that the state shouldn't be running around governing everything the church does.
Right.
And there are two different spheres there, but we are governed by the same ethics, come from the same Bible. And when we reject that, we're in a lot of trouble. You know, they actually did govern nations by the Bible for about 1,000 years until Jeremy Bentham in 1780s and 1790s wrote his books on utilitarianism. And utilitarianism is the form of ethic used by Republicans and Democrats, by the evangelicals, that effectively states that we do that which produces the most good in the long run. For the most people. And that's the form of ethic that everybody uses. It's Jeremy and Bentham's forms of utilitarianism. That's what's used at the Capitol these days, Bill.
Yeah.
Jeremy Bentham also wrote a book on homosexuality that wasn't published until 1978. He actually wrote it in 1785, wasn't published for about 230 years because it was a little too controversial. He was complaining that there were only a couple of two, three homosexual acts in London, in Amsterdam, in Edinburgh, Scotland, the biggest cities in the world at that time. There were only two or three incidents of homosexuality every century. See, he had a big problem with that. You only had two or three incidents of homosexuality, homosexual behavior in the Protestant nations at that time in 1785, and he really found a problem with that. Of course, since utilitarianism governs everybody's ethical theory, now we have homosexuality, everything. There are more than two or three incidents happening in Denver every 100 years. In fact, there are probably billions and billions of incidents of homosexuality in San Francisco, Atlanta, Minneapolis, Denver, Boston, New York, Chicago, Amsterdam, and Edinburgh. Some 15% of the population in San Francisco are homosexual. And the homosexual scourge has pretty much spread over the entire Western world thanks to the ideas of the utilitarians. And it's sad that the utilitarian ethical argument is used all the time,
mm-hmm.
all the time by Republicans and conservatives and pro-family Christian groups. It's really sad they'll use the utilitarian argument, Bill, that don't do this sex because you'll probably get a sexually transmitted disease. You know, don't do this because this will probably don't do this because this will happen. And nobody wants to say don't do this because God says it's wrong.
I think we've decided, at least in the U.S. in the Colorado Senate, and now it looks like it's going to be in the Colorado House, and it will be signed by the Colorado governor, that we're smarter than God is.
Yeah.
That we have a better way and a better plan than what God has for us. And I think we give up too much ground to the enemy. We feel like we have to meet them where they're going to understand the arguments or they're going to accept the arguments. And
quickly,
I think we give up too much ground there. We just say, hey, this is the word of God. You need to deal with it.
Quickly, Bill, last year, give us a synopsis of how you testified on the civil union bill last year. And by the way, Bill Roach was on the front page of the Denver Post after his testimony last year. So you were pretty famous there for a week or two.
Yeah, more infamous probably would be more accurate than famous. But you know, Kevin, I just reminded the House Judiciary Committee that they stood before God and would be held accountable for the vote that they would make. I reminded them that the Bible, there are some difficult things to understand in the Word of God, and we can have discussions about some of those things that are more difficult to understand. But this one is very clear. God condemns homosexuality. There's no affirmation anywhere in all 66 books that where homosexuality is affirmed in any possible way as being good. And I reminded them of that. I said, if you affirm what God condemns, you're going to curse yourself. And in the process, you're going to curse us and our state. And on the opposite side, if you affirm what God affirms and you condemn what God condemns, you're going to be blessed and we will be blessed also. And I reminded them from Psalm chapter 2, you have a responsibility to acknowledge God. Kiss the Son is what the scriptures say. And that is the acknowledge that God is sovereign, that he has laws that we're to abide by. And as the civil judges, the judges of the earth, the civil servants, the governors, the representatives, they have a responsibility to acknowledge God in the way that they vote. And I simply said, you have to do this. Mm. You are required to. You will be held accountable for
powerful
it.
Words. Powerful words. I'm glad you said that, Bill. I'm glad you brought that out because those words are typically not said.
They weren't accepted very well. Had one of the representatives look me straight in the eye and said, how do you know that's the word of God?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that question wouldn't have been asked 100 years ago,
yeah.
probably not even 50 years ago,
mm-hmm.
but it's asked in 2011 and 2012. Mm-hmm. They're questioning the very essence of who God is and what his word is.
Now, speaking of 100 years ago, you also mentioned what was going on in Denver the last century. I mean, I think it seems to me you brought out some historical record on the homosexual issue
yeah.
in Denver.
Yeah, it was a capital offense.
Yeah,
100 years ago. This is how quickly the times have changed. And I don't believe the evangelical church knows how to deal with the issue of homosexuality. They just don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah. Well, again, getting back to the Word of God, ultimately as our standard is the important mm-hmm. and only effectual way to stand in any of these situations. And Bill, it's sad that you have our leaders, our church leaders, our seminary leaders, our political leaders afraid to bring out the Word of God in the midst of this ethical chaos, in the midst of social breakdown, in the midst of the nuclear family now making up less than half of American households and 53% of kids born to 30-year-old women born out of wedlock. I mean, in the midst of this utter chaotic destruction of all society and civilization, nobody wants to go back to the Word of God, dust off the Word and say, what did that Word say one more time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we need to get out there and show them what they're doing. They need to see the destructive work they brought upon the family in the 21st century. They need to see that. And then they need to be pointed back to the Word of God as the only basis, the only possible basis for rooting and grounding a strong, stable, and righteous society.
God help our children and our grandchildren.
Amen. And I think that's the point we made with Treon. That's the point we'll make right now. We've got to stay in this for the long haul. We may not win this one this week, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to hang in there for the next 20, 30, 40 years. I personally don't think that homosexuality has what it takes to salvage a civilization. You know, they don't have kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's a one generation plan at best. It's the one generation vision at best. But we have got to be laying foundations, concrete foundations for our children and grandchildren. And I'm glad you were at the Capitol working that.
Well, I did it for my children and my grandchildren, for sure, yeah. And for the state of Colorado. It was a dismal day when that vote went through, realizing we were on the path for it to clear the House.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God is in control. I mean,
yeah.
We still have a couple days, and it still could
sure.
can be brought down a different way. But we may be getting exactly what we've asked for as a people in this state.
Well, no matter what happened, God always wins.
Amen.
We can count on that. Thanks, Bill.
All right, brother.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast, an important edition of the program today as we fight the good fight. And ladies and gentlemen, we have got to be in this for the long haul. We need a long-term vision. A long-term, multi-generational vision in order to work our way out of the morass we find ourselves in the present generation. These are difficult times. These are very difficult times. So let's make sure we've got a long-term vision. And that's why I wrote my book, The Second Mayflower. And that ultimately gives a vision for our children and grandchildren. If the Lord tarries, and we still have opportunity to fight the good fights and to lay down foundations for a country that is founded in liberty and law, in the standards of righteousness we find in the Word of God, we're going to pattern it after the first Mayflower, after the founding of this nation that had good, solid, righteous foundations. I make that point in my book, The Second Mayflower. But also, friends, we need a vision for a second Mayflower. And that's why the book, The Second Mayflower, available at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
I have always felt that doubt was the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of God was the end of wisdom.
Clarence Darrow.
The only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing.
Socrates.
Belief is the death of intelligence.
Robert Anton Wilson.
If thou trusteth to the book called the Scriptures, thou trusteth to the rotten staff of fables and falsehood.
Thomas Paine.
Faith is believing what you know ain't so.
Mark Twain.
Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered.
God.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
God.
The fool believes his own ideas to be wisdom, but those who fear God and search for understanding, find true wisdom. To lead your family in the pursuit of godliness, pick up a copy of the Proverbs Study Guide at generationswithvision.com.